right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, it's another of our special monthly trailer roundup episodes. We are looking at the movies of May 2022. As usual, Jason Harris from Awesome Movie Year is here to help me break down these movies and figure out what might have inspired them just based off their trailers. Just little mini conversations for each one of these trailers. So we got that coming up in a second. As always, I want to remind you to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. You can, of course, rate and review us if you like what we're doing here. And, you know, follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. But I also want to do something a little different at the top of this episode. This is something I'm going to start doing for now, do it as part of these trailer roundups. And then eventually, if we get a lot of feedback coming in, we've been getting more and more feedback per episode, which is great. I love it when people get in touch after the episodes. But the more we get, maybe I'll do a special dedicated bonus episode every month to talk about some of this feedback. But I want to give a shout out to some people who sent in potential puzzle pieces for some of the movies we covered here on the show. So let's do that. I've got a list here, starting with the episode we did on Everything Everywhere All at Once, the new film from Daniels. The Vern from Cinema Recall, who's been here on the show before, told me that he thought of Mulholland Drive, Paprika, A Scanner Darkly, Last Year at Marienbad, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and Undone. So, bunch of puzzle pieces from the Vern. And Manish said Terms of Endearment and Brave, which Brave, you know, definitely we talked about various Pixar stuff on that episode, so that fits right in there. Next up, Apollo 10 and a Half, which I covered with Jason Harris. Josie DeMarco over in the Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces group brought up The Sandlot. Thurry Harlan brought up Destination Moon, and Ryan Daugherty brought up A Christmas Story. So we got a bunch more puzzle pieces we could have brought up there. For the unbearable weight of massive talent, my mom brought up My Favorite Year, and she told me that I need to watch that movie because I've never seen it before, and it does sound fun, so I'm going to have to check that out. And then for The Northmen, which that episode we did record already, Pete Abeda is going to be my guest for that one. It has not gone up yet. You can check it out over on the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, though. But Josie DeMarco, again, she brought up Eric the Conqueror, which I actually did go and watch. It's a 1961 Mario Bava film, and it was really cool to check out. It was worth watching for sure. I did give it a shout out on the episode itself, but giving it another shout here as well. So yeah, everybody, if you're listening and you've got your own puzzle pieces you think we should have brought up on these episodes, definitely get in touch either on Twitter or in the Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces Facebook group. Or, of course, you could just email me directly. My email is on the website. So, with all that said, let's talk about some May trailers. Jason Harris is back with us for another month of trailers. Jason, how's it going? Me too. Exactly the same over here, but we got movies to talk about, so you know we got.
Yeah, it's an interesting month. When we were going through these, the first half I was like, "Nah, it just looks all like remakes and sequels." Not that I'm not excited about some of those, but then it kind of got better as it went along. Some look better than others, and there's some original content out there that looks good. So you know, yeah. It's nice.
Nice mix as usual, but. Let's first talk about last month and see what we ended up seeing out of the movies we talked about. We started off with You Won't Be Alone, which did not open here in Las Vegas, but is now on VOD, and I'm actually planning on renting it tonight. I'm assuming you didn't see it.
I don't even remember what it was. What was that?
The Noomi Rapace, she's like a witch taking over bodies.
Ooh. Yeah, that looked great.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to watching that. The Contractor, which was one of two Chris Pine movies. Spoiler alert, I didn't watch either of them. Did you watch either of them?
I did, but not this one.
Okay, so we'll get to that one soon. Next up is Judd Apatow's The Bubble, which, as I have mentioned to you, and I think I mentioned once or twice on this show before, might be the worst movie I've seen from a major studio and major filmmaker ever.
That's exciting to me, especially since your taste is so questionable to begin with sometimes. Like, I like that. And there's this, have you know, I mean, you're always on the film Twitter. There's this huge, like, Apatow backlash about how he ruined mainstream comedy, which I don't think at all. Like,
I don't agree with that at all either. I think he's great normally. And yeah, this movie is just a bitter, shitty mess. And I hate
it. Well, yeah, that's exciting to me. But again, you know, I question what, you know, well, as I brought up last month, like, he came out strong, then he produced a bunch of good stuff, and I liked his TV shows. But, you know, the last 10 years,
right,
very not as good output.
Yeah, it's a hard time for comedy, really. But anyway, moving on. Next up is Michael Bay's Ambulance, which I loved. One of the best Michael Bay things we've seen since pre-Transformers. I mean, it's really good.
I didn't see it, but this is why I say your taste is questionable.
There you go. Absolutely. Next up is the Chris Pine movie that you must have seen, All the Old Knives.
I did see that. That was all right. It was kind of like one of these, like, sexy espionage thrillers. Thandi Newton really steals the movie. She's great. And then the ending, like, you know, they get to it and you're like, okay, you wrote yourself there. I guess it's based on a novel. And is the ending great? Not really, but, like, it's all right. It's not bad if you got an hour and a half on a rainy day or whatnot. Yeah.
Not bad. Next up is the faith-based Father Stew, which did not do what they were hoping. Old Mel Gibson and Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg apparently now moving on to all faith-based content from here on out. That's what I read.
That's exciting.
Is it?
That's why I stopped talking right after I said that.
Yeah. I don't think either of us planned on seeing it, and I did not see it. So, next up is Chariot, which I did think looked interesting, if, you know, maybe a little on the low budget side of things, but I did not get around to it. Did you watch it?
I don't even remember what it was.
Okay, John Malkovich, but we questioned whether he was maybe in 5 minutes of the movie, one of those kind of things, but yeah, did not watch it. The Northmen, which I saw, I loved. We recorded an episode. It will be coming soon here on the podcast. Did you get to The Northmen yet?
I'm excited. I mean, that's top of the list. I'm glad you saw it. I mean, that and the Nick Cage ones. I haven't seen either of them. I know you really like both of them.
Yeah. And speaking of which, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, our most recent episode of Piecing It Together. I loved it so much. I think you'll like it. I think you'll have fun with it. And then the last one on the list just came out this weekend. I haven't seen it yet. I'm actually planning on going with my dad to see it this week. It's the new Liam Neeson movie, his monthly movies, Memory. Did you catch it?
I mean, it just came out. Haven't seen it. I will probably wait until that seems like something I can watch at home.
Yeah, fair enough.
As I said about Memory, Liam Neeson plays an old man who forgot he made this movie already.
I'm sure he doesn't remember all of them. He can't. It's impossible.
He's the best.
So let's move on to this month, and we're going to kick it off with a last-minute addition that I didn't realize was finally making it out to full release this month. You reminded me right before we started, but it's Gaspar Noé's latest film, Vortex. It's been in limited release for a while. It was over in Europe for a while, but it will be in theaters May 6th. It is one of two films he's putting out this year. Another one that was also in limited release all over the place for a while, Lux Eterna. I'm not sure if that has a date yet. But this one stars Dario Argento and Francois Leburne, I think is how you say the name. I'm not sure if this is specifically a dementia thing, but it's like aging and the toll on mental health of old people. And it uses split screen. It, you know, Gaspar Noé is usually doing something weird with cinema. So it looks pretty cool to me.
I think so. I know you're a big Gaspar fan and everything.
Yeah.
So, and this one, everyone seems to be a fan of.
Yeah. Yeah. It's getting really good reviews out of the festivals. I think it premiered at Cannes. Yeah. What do you have for possible pieces here?
Well, I mean, you know, you first talk about movies about old people, and we just covered our friend, who's not our friend because he died when we were kids, John Cassavetes, Gloria, on Awesome Movie Year. So I was thinking of his son's movie, Nick Cassavetes, The Notebook, which I still like as a film. And, you know, does deal with kind of an aging couple and memory loss and stuff like that. Then you're talking about split screen. It reminded me of Mike Figgis's Time Code, where he had like four stories going on at once.
I never did see that. It looked insane.
Yeah, I think it probably was. I never saw it either, and I probably should have. So, and then lastly, Dave, I will do this so you can not do this the entire movie. I'm thinking of ending things. Charlie Kaufman, all about the blurry mental lines. I already picked a Charlie Kaufman movie. Ha ha ha. You can't do one now this whole episode.
Fair enough. I'll start off with one that I brought up Charlie Kaufman as a puzzle piece for when we did the episode, and that is The Father from just a couple years ago, where Anthony Hopkins won an Oscar for playing a character, dementia. Also bring up Amour, the Michael Haneke movie, just a brutal movie about an old couple. And any of these kind of movies that are about aging and just how difficult that is for people. And yeah, this looks like it'll be a brutal experience, but it'll be interesting for sure to see what exactly he has planned with this one.
Yeah, it's good that, you know, we're getting some challenging films, right?
Yeah, absolutely. On the less challenging side of things, let's move on to a Marvel movie. We've got Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness coming to theaters on May 6th. In theory, I think like the biggest of the post-Avengers Endgame ones, like it feels like this is maybe going to finally set some things up for a continuing story. I don't know, but
I don't know. I don't know either. They all blur together. Look, we like the first Doctor Strange, and Sam Raimi's directing this one. So
right.
Like,
and that's the big story here.
Right. Yeah. That's where we're going with it. Multiverse, multiverse, multiverse. That's the theme of the year of films.
Yeah.
So I tried to kind of go a different way with it. You know, we've talked about Looper before, and in this one, it looks like Stephen Strange has to fight a different version of Stephen Strange. So I thought Looper was kind of an interesting one. And then this is too current to be a piece, but highly recommend it. And I think what they're doing using this kind of, I don't know if it's a multiverse yet or different dimensions, different worlds, like, but it's awesome. Outer Range, the new Josh Brolin show on Amazon Prime, is amazing.
I heard great things about it. My dad's watching it right now. I have not seen it, though. But yeah, Looper's a great piece here. Speaking to that, fighting different versions of yourself, and of course, it being a Sam Raimi movie, I had to go Army of Darkness because Ash does have to fight Bad Ash. So you get that. And hopefully, you know, there's been lots of rumors about Bruce Campbell having some kind of cameo in this. So I guess we'll see what happens. And then, yeah, I mean, like you said, multiverse, multiverse. I mean, it's lazy, but I went with Loki and WandaVision. Like, sure, all of the Marvel TV shows are, it seems like we're kind of dragging them into the movie version of the MCU. So.
Well, I mean, we know Wanda's in this, right?
Sure.
I don't think Loki's in it from what, is he? Or?
I mean, not that I know of from the trailers, but I mean, there's all kinds of, it sounds like cameos and like weird stuff's going to happen. I mean, they're saying Patrick Stewart is possibly that faceless cameo that you just hear the voice from X-Men.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, so
Charles,
I mean,
Xavier, that would be cool.
Yeah, so there's gonna be all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, another way to go with it, because you mentioned Wanda, is like, did you watch WandaVision?
I didn't watch any of the shows.
All right, well, so you know, we kind of know at the end that Stephen Strange approaches her, but like, she needs redemption, and I think this is like this movie where it's redeeming this female character who's done a lot of not so nice things.
Yeah, I have read a few spoilers about what happened on the show, so I get it. So I will have edited it, but Jason's problematic dog just made us pause the podcast. So next up is Marmaduke on Netflix.
At least my dog's still alive.
My dog is alive and well. He may have had a fainting episode the other day.
How many times have we had a fainting episode? What was it? Too much stress in your dog's life, having to walk from the living room to the kitchen or something?
I'm laughing, but it was very scary. It was horrific. But,
I feel like that dog's been reanimated 5 times. How many times have we done a podcast at your house where your dog just makes otherworldly sounds and you're like, you're not even a living creature at this point?
He's the best dog in the world. Marmaduke is not the best dog in the world. He's a problem. And this is a new animated version of Marmaduke. The animation style, I will just say this right up front, just looks awful. I don't know, what did you think about this?
You know, I was saying at the beginning that there are like some remakes and reboots this month that like, is anyone asking for it? And
yeah,
and some that look good, and this falls in the like, really, why are we making this movie category? Yeah. But Yeah, and not just the animation. The movie looks horrible, Dave.
It looks really lazy. Like what do we got? We got Marmaduke. All right, sure. Why not? Like right. That's about it.
Right. So, if you want to talk about kind of a fun movie with a dog who's too much for a family to handle, I went all the way back to Beethoven.
Sure.
And then Marmaduke enters a dog show. So Christopher Guest, best in show. Maybe yeah. I'm just trying to like block out the preview while thinking of good movies that this
yeah.
could be like. So those are the two I put.
By the way, while you were just talking, I brought it up on IMDb. There are four directors on this movie. That's always a good sign.
I don't even know how that, I mean, I guess it's animated. So
yeah, that's, oh boy. Yeah, I thought of Clifford the Big Red Dog, just sure. like your Beethoven piece there. And also Scoob with an exclamation mark, the one from 2020, right before the pandemic hit, which also had a really questionable animation style.
Yeah. So, all right. Moving on.
Moving on, another remake, Firestarter, which will be on Peacock at the same time as it's in theaters on May 13th, a new take on the Stephen King novel, this one from Blumhouse, stars Zac Efron, although the little girl is Ryan Kira Armstrong, who is previously on The Tomorrow War and American Horror Story, apparently. The interesting thing about this that I didn't know until we were preparing for the episode is it's directed by Keith Thomas, the director of The Vigil. The movie that me and Josh Bell loved so much.
And this goes to the other point. When I saw that we were previewing this, I'm like, man, another remake. But then I watched this and I'm like, no, this is great. Like, I don't think a lot of people recognize, obviously the original Firestarter anymore. And this looks like, it's going right down the middle with that kind of movie. So I thought this looked pretty decent, to be honest with you.
I did too.
A little girl has to learn how to control her supernatural powers. Did we just talk about X-Men, Dave? I think we did. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, government wants to do experiments on her. It made me think of Eleven from Stranger Things. Looking forward to that new season. Lastly, Dave, probably the number one influence on this little girl has to control her powers, Elsa in Frozen.
Mm. I'm sure you've seen Frozen a lot of times over there in that house.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of Frozen. Yeah.
Good stuff. By the way, X-Men, are you specifically thinking of Dark Phoenix? Because that's what I had on my list.
Here. I mean, and it's funny because that's a good one to go with. You could go with any of them. I always like to go Days of Future Past or First Class or something that, whatever. Sure. First Class, that was that's the throwback one, or I don't know.
Yes. Yeah that's the one.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Good stuff. The other piece I had, a really good movie, Midnight Special, the Jeff Nichols movie with Michael Shannon as a guy protecting his son who's showing that he might have superpowers.
Yeah, yeah. Also a great song by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
There you go. Absolutely. Let's go on to our next movie. It is Pleasure. It's a limited release, May 13th. Not sure about a wide release date yet, but it's from Neon. It is supposed to be a very authentic and disturbing look at the world of porn. It's getting a lot of raves.
I was uncomfortable watching the preview.
Yeah,
like absolutely. Just, the it just was, it's rough. It's a rough thing to watch. So
that is absolutely fair. It got a lot of raves out of, I believe it was Sundance earlier this year, Sundance or South by Southwest, one of them. But people said that it's like we were saying right there, very uncomfortable, but really good. I'm looking forward to it. What do you have for pieces here?
I mean, Red Rocket and X were the first two that came up, but I think stylistically, it reminded me of Spring Breakers and kind of that whole feel. So those were the three that popped off. I could give more, but you go.
Yeah, no, those are fine. Just right along with those picks, I have Zola, another A24 movie.
Yeah, that was on my list as well.
Yeah, I think that feeling of just being around all of that kind of stuff is what's there. And then the porn industry, Boogie Nights, you got to throw that in there as well.
Yeah. So. I mean, and obviously we're seeing more usage of like social media within the film and everything. So something like Zola fits that really well.
Yeah.
That other one, I know you're Andrew Garfield, A24 freak. That one from last year could be in there too.
Oh, you thinking of mainstream?
Yeah. Which is the opposite of porn.
There you go. It is the opposite of porn, sort of. let's go to Tank House. This is a smaller movie. It'll be in limited release May 13th. I believe it's going to be possibly on VOD the same day. I saw various different info, but it's got Richard Kine, Christopher Lloyd. It stars Tara Holt and Stephen Friedrich. It's about this kind of dumbass couple of actors who get kicked out of the New York theater scene and move to Fargo, North Dakota to start a new theater scene back up. It looked kind of interesting.
It did. I can't tell if it's going to be horrible or wonderful, right?
Right, so, exactly.
On the wonderful side, Mike Birbiglia's movie about improv players, Don't Think Twice, was the first thing that I thought
of. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but that's, yeah, that fits great.
Yeah, so we've already talked about Christopher Guest, obviously Small Town Theater. We covered it on an awesome movie year, Waiting for Guffman, still my favorite of his films. And then I was also thinking of the first season of Search Party, which I highly recommend. It's closing up this year, but the idea of people, and that was all in New York, but the people who took themselves and their art very seriously and really didn't have any meaning at all.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's a good piece too. I like both of those, and Waiting for Guffman is of course on my list as well. I think that's the first thing that came to mind for me. I was trying to think of movies about bad plays. I was kind of having trouble coming up with one, so just went to The Producers, another awesome movie or movie. But you know, I'm sure there's plenty of other movies about bad plays that I will think of after we finish recording.
Well, yeah, and also the whole, like, you know, fish out of water, Doc Hollywood, right? Like, big city people go to, in this case, a different city, but they make it look like a small town in the preview type.
I guess you could include Fargo, too. Just, you know.
Well, there is that wood chipper scene in the preview.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So next up, another one that you suggested we add to our list called Good Morning. It's coming to limited theaters and VOD on May 20th. And it is Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox. Also stars Pete Davidson. Looks kind of like a Vanity Project kind of thing. Looks like just like a dumb stoner comedy, but it's a guy whose girlfriend breaks up with him and people try to help him get back together with her. I
feel like it felt a little like Get Him to the Greek, but with like getting a girlfriend back instead of making your gig on time.
Yeah.
The reason I picked it is because didn't Machine Gun Kelly also write this movie?
I think so. Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, you know, look,
he's an auteur.
Right. Well, and I didn't pick it like, oh, we got to do it because, I mean, but hey, maybe it's great. Who knows? The other one, again, I'm bringing a lot of TV into this, but I feel like this is definitely influenced by Dave, the Little Dicky Show.
That's on my list, too.
Which, if it manages to reach those heights of excellence, I will buy you lunch, Dave.
Yeah.
Because so, Dave is one of my favorite shows on, right? You know?
Yeah, it's so good. Absolutely. I haven't watched the new season yet, but the last season was just incredible.
What new season? There's only been two seasons.
That's what I mean. I only watched the first one.
It's been out for over a year, dingus.
You know how bad I am with TV. But, yeah, I know. But yeah, really good. And I'll just throw in, since I had Dave on my list, the other one I had was Road Trip, you know, the comedy with Breckin Meyer, I believe his name is. And Tom Green. Yeah, and Tom Green and... Yeah, all of them trying to get back the girlfriend. By the way, I couldn't even tell in this trailer, is the girlfriend Megan Fox or is Megan Fox the friend?
Megan Fox is not the girlfriend. She's like there to cleanse him. Actually, I put this, even though I didn't watch it, but I put the bubble as a puzzle piece because it looks like a horrible send-up of whatever's going on in rich people industry lives.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Next up is Men. It's going to be a limited release on May 20th. It's the latest from Alex Garland, who made Ex Machina and Annihilation and Devs. It's an A24 film. Stars Jesse Buckley and Rory Kinnear, who plays 18 different men who are driving this woman crazy after she's on a retreat after her husband attempted to kill himself or did kill himself.
That's amazing. That's weird. Yeah, I mean, look, Alex Garland, we all are big fans of. At least us two. And in most months, Dave, an Alex Garland movie would totally be the one I'm most looking forward to. And that's what's exciting. As much as I'm looking forward to this, we have another one coming up later that I'm looking forward to more.
Nice.
But obviously this is going to be one that we're gonna see and enjoy, I hope. It looks crazy. So I put, again, I'm going with TV influences because it looks like if you go into a tunnel or come out of this tunnel, like, I don't know if people from different dimensions are coming or what's going on, right? It's that supernatural thrill. So the German show Dark, which the first season's incredible, second season's incredible, third season is just so far out there, I can't even explain it. And then also this kind of small Irish town with a secret reminded me of a little film called The World's End, you know, from our friend Simon Pegg and everything. Lastly, you know, clearly this priest is like gaslighting her, you know? So let's throw Gaslight on there, the Hitchcock film.
Yeah,
Cukor, Cukor, not Hitchcock, Cukor.
Right, right. So I will throw in there The Shining, you know, person going crazy. I mean, it seems like a little bit of that going on. She's going nuts and people are making her go nuts. I also had Anomalisa, the Charlie Kaufman. You said I couldn't use any Charlie Kaufman, but I'm doing it. But the stop motion animated movie that he put out where Tom Noonan voices every single other person except for the main character.
Well, Dave, I like that film, but since you can't use Charlie Kaufman, we're replacing that with The Nutty Professor with Eddie Murphy.
There you go. That's fair. I also was wondering, you know, I don't know when this like started production or whatever, this particular movie, but I was wondering how much of the idea of it, of having this one guy play 18 different characters, came from, you know, COVID restrictions and not being able to have a lot of people on set.
Right.
It would be kind of an interesting way to deal with the pandemic.
And we are seeing so many of these movies in contained environments. Currently, yeah. I'm actually working on writing one of those. So, and I'm only a year too late. So that's great.
Hey, it's never going to end. So, I mean, you're never going to be too late. So,
Dave, what do you know about? I mean, we know Jesse Buckley has the Oscar nomination, but what do we know about this guy who's playing 18 different characters?
I don't know. That's funny you ask that. I don't know anything about Rory Kinnear. I really don't. I'm guessing he's more of a TV actor. He's on Penny Dreadful. That seems to be his big thing. He was in No Time to Die.
Does he do like a lot of British television? Or?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It actually says English actor when you search for him. So like, it doesn't just say actor. It says English actor. So next up on our list is Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, which will be on Disney Plus May 20th. It's the Lonely Island's take on these classic animated characters, where one of them goes 3D, the other goes regular 2D animation, and they have to get back together for a new case, and it looks really weird. And John Mulaney and Andy Samberg are the main voice cast, but Seth Rogen, J.K. Simmons, Will Arnett. I don't know what to think about this one. What do you think?
I'm really excited. Like, I had no desire, like, when they were like, oh, they're making a Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers movies. But because it's Lonely Island and they're going to spin it, you know, it would be like if it would be like a Lord and Miller movie with the Lego movie, right? Type thing.
That's on my list of pieces for sure. Yeah.
And it looks fun. It looks really fun. The two, obviously, that I came up with, the mix of animation and live action all the way, and also a mystery, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the classic. Mm-hmm. And then this also kind of felt like, hey, we have to get back together and show us at our best again, at our most powerful as a unit, was the Muppets from 2011 that Jason Segel and Greg Mottola spearheaded.
I thought you were about to say the Blues Brothers, which we just talked about, an awesome movie here. But
that was not a cartoon or a kid's show.
But it was people having to get back together.
Yeah, and it was based on a TV, you know, sketch. But I'm saying, like, the Muppets were a TV show, right?
Yes.
And now the film is them having to get back together.
Yeah,
like these absolutely. Rescue Rangers. So.
Absolutely. Good pieces all around. The Lego movie was on my list. I'll also bring up Free Guy, the Ryan Reynolds movie, which was basically like a live action Lego movie, but also deals with the mixed mediums between the video game world, the real world inside the movie, and, you know, everything else going on. Yeah, I don't know. I'm hopeful for this one because I love pretty much everything those Lonely Island guys do. This trailer just, I don't know, it's weird to me. It doesn't land for me.
Do you have a favorite Lonely Island thing?
Probably the movie.
The pop star movie?
Pop star, yeah.
Did you ever see the, It's amazing. The fake sports documentary they did about the long tennis match where Sandberg and Kit Harington are playing the leads and everything.
I watched that stoned out of my mind. I barely remember it, but it was so funny.
It's so funny. And I barely ever say things that are funny to the point where they make me laugh out loud. And that thing just had me rolling, man. That's so good. Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Yeah. I got to watch that again one of these days. Next up is Top Gun Maverick, one of the final pandemic delayed movies that we've been waiting on forever. It will finally be out in theaters May 27th. Just had its premiere here in Vegas at CinemaCon, and everyone went nuts for it. I'm excited. Dude, what are you thinking?
This is the one I'm most excited for this month. And yeah. I'm going to go see it in IMAX. The first Top Gun is so awesome and like really one of the, you know, these, you know, we talk about the birth of blockbusters in the 70s with like Jaws and Star Wars. And then Top Gun was what, 86, maybe 87?
Yeah, it's 86, 87, 86. Something like that.
I think it's 86, but like that kind of adrenaline fueled blockbuster that we see constantly now, I really feel it was a real debt to Top Gun. And
yeah.
This looks great, and I'm so happy to hear that everyone liked it. It looks like exactly what it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah,
so.
And Joseph Kaczynski, Oblivion I didn't love, but Tron Legacy was pretty damn awesome as far as him as a director.
I mean, it looks pretty impressive the way that it's shot. You know, look, I don't want to throw a Tom Cruise movie in there, but if I did, it would be Mission Impossible Fallout just because of the amazing stunts and the stuff that they're doing in the sky and in planes and stuff like that. This kind of secret mission brings me back to like a Zero Dark 30. And then I think we should mention two classics here. Wings, the first Best Picture winner ever. And then Howard Hughes' Hell's Angels, which to this day holds up as some of the most amazing aerial footage that's been shot.
Yeah, I'll have to watch those before Top Gun Maverick comes out, because that'll be interesting to see like the difference between, you know, the high-end flight footage of that day to now. But yeah, that cool piece is, I will also include Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk, as far as, you know, that's a movie that I don't really like because I don't care about the characters, but as far as the actual, photography of the flights, like, I mean, it looks amazing. And I think this probably took a page from that. And then I'll also, include the recent Star Wars trilogy. Just the old guys are back, but there's a whole new crew of heroes that they're training to take over. So
I read this book recently called Island Stories. It's a history of Great Britain as it pertains to being an island, you know, and everything. And it was I'm a pretty smart guy. I minored in history in college and everything, right? And this took me like all of my brain power to like understand. But they talk about how Dunkirk is kind of like, you know, like how like D-Day for us was, right? Or something like that, you know. Such a huge moment in British history, which has nothing to do with Top Gun, but I wanted to at least say
that. You wanted to show off how smart you are, huh?
You should learn how to read, Dave.
I can't. I just can't do it. Last for the month is the Bob's Burgers movie coming to theaters May 27th, when I'll finally not have to watch the trailer over and over again every single time I go to the movies. It's the adaptation of the popular adult comedy. Did you ever watch Bob's Burgers?
I'm not a devotee, but I watched him here and there. It's a super fun show. And I could totally see myself, like, when my daughter gets a little older, like us just running through that series together and everything.
Yeah, I've never watched it. I like, you know, H. John Benjamin and Christian Shaw. Like, I like these people that are involved with it, but I haven't watched it.
Yeah, you have to, you should turn over the PC. I've been reading in the popcorn and puzzle pieces group, but you should turn it over and take yourself out of it. Maybe moderate that episode, but have actual people who know that world. Like,
I think it would be a fun experiment to see what happens, because I do have a couple of people interested, and everybody voted yes that we should cover it on the show. So I guess we'll see what happens. Maybe that will be something we'll do. What do you got for pieces here?
Well, I mean, look, we're talking about films based on cartoon shows, right? Like kind of like Rescue Rangers was, right? But
yeah,
you know, going kind of how big can they go? And I think the Simpsons movie did a great job of that, you know. And then I have the Powerpuff Girls is another one. We could list 100 of them, right? But and then I was like, well, you know, it's Bob's Burgers. Let's throw in Diner. Let's throw in Big Night, some good food movies. And that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I had Good Burger, which I've never actually seen, but I figured it fits, maybe.
Oh, I've seen Good Burger, all right. Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
There you go. And yeah, I had Beavis and Butthead Do America as my version of the, you know, movie based on the cartoon. So, and I do love that movie. So, yeah, that is our month of May. A lot of good movies to look forward to. Jason, is there something you watched recently you want to recommend to our listeners?
Yeah, I feel like I've been doing that all show with the TV. So I'll mention another one, Slow Horses on Apple TV. Apple TV Plus is really starting to kick some ass, I got to say, yeah. You know, you know, Severance was great this year. I like Slow Horses. It's Gary Oldman is this crank. Did we talk about this ever before or no?
I don't think so. But speaking of Apple TV Plus, Cooper Rafe's new movie, Cha-Cha Real Smooth, is going to be on Apple TV Plus. We'll be talking about that next month on our trailer.
All right. There's the Magic Johnson 4-part documentary, all types of things. Shining Girls, right? So I'm going to recommend Apple TV Plus in general. And obviously, Apple, you know, it's a small company, just very DIY mom and pop shop. So they need this type of publicity from a monolith podcast like yours.
Monolith podcast. Jason, what's going on Awesome Movie here? And what do you got going on with your comedy?
Oh, yeah, Dave, lots of comedy. I am actually trying to post about it more often. The best way to find me on that is Jason Harris Comedy, Facebook and Instagram. Jay Harris Comedy on Twitter, I don't use as much. And then also, Dave, as you know, I host a lot of trivia nights throughout town. And I make sure we always have you know, a good amount of pop culture in there. Movie rounds and definitely music rounds and stuff like that. So come out. They're really fun the way we do them. Awesome Movie Year. We are getting close to the end of season 11. And it's been a great season. 1980, so many good movies. And what I can tell you is season 12, I think I've never been more excited about a season.
Nice. Yeah. No, it's going to be a really fun one for sure. And yeah, everybody check out Awesome Movie Year. And Jason, thank you as always for joining me.
Yeah, Dave, we made it through a whole show without me calling your audience sloppy pigs.
Thanks, Jason. I'm Josh Bell.
And I'm Jason Harris, and we co-host a podcast called Awesome Movie Year.
Each season, we take a look back at an awesome year for movies, which is every year.
We deep dive into these specific years, and we pick out why they were such great years for films. We go over the biggest hits, the biggest flops, the best pictures, some personal picks, some cult classics.
Years we've covered in past seasons include 1994, 2003, 1977, and 1984, and we've got all of film history to look forward to. So check us out at awesomemovieyear.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about some of the movies coming out in May. Thanks to Jason Harris for joining me. And if you enjoy what we do here on Piecing It Together, make sure you are subscribed wherever you listen to podcasts. We're, of course, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Pocket Casts and all those places. We're also on Good Pods and Podchaser, all the podcast apps. You can subscribe, you can rate, you can review, you could share. We appreciate all that you guys do and just the fact that you're out there listening. Obviously, I shared some of those listener puzzle pieces at the beginning of the show. I'd love to keep doing more and more of that. So if you are listening, please get in touch. Let me know about puzzle pieces that you think of for the movies we cover here on the show. I'd love to hear from you. So, make sure you're following us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And, of course, don't forget about our Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where you can currently listen to our episodes on The Northman and Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and Uncharted. There's a bunch of episodes that are not out yet on the main feed. There's also a bonus Awesome Movie Year episode on American Pie that will eventually be up on the main feed. And there's a bunch of stuff from my music career, so lots of great stuff to check out. And speaking of my music career, let's close this out with a piece of my music. I am going to go with just a random track from my most recent full-length album, the self-titled David Rosen album. I'm just going to pick one. What should I play? I'll go with Beacon. How about that? I'm sure I've played it in one of these endings of the episodes before, but this is a cool track. So let's play it. It's Beacon. It's from my album, David Rosen. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be back with more Piecing It Together, including another special episode, if things go well this weekend, later this week.
West Production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.